David, I know we wanted to get Bill Walton on the Maui podcast. I didn't want these two guys.
My God. What is that? Oh, God. Where did you dig that up from?
Welcome back to the Bob Huggins, Mick Cronin show. Oh, no. Welcome back to the Hoops HD Report. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by Joby Fortson.
Not sure if that can be topped.
David Griggs. And
I just want to stop the show. It's not going to get any better. If you're watching, you can stop watching now. That picture was the highlight.
This is the show where we review all the games that have been going on. We preview upcoming stuff. We talk about anything or anything related to college basketball and who else knows what happens. We have a puppet. But we actually wanted to start before we pull up some of the standings and go over some of the events that have happened both in the past week and take a look at the upcoming schedule for the upcoming week. We want to talk a little bit about Joby. You release our nitty gritty ratings on the website. It's called the JNG ratings. You can look right up there and click on it. You've also got football rankings up there. Yeah. Can you just tell us a little, people that aren't familiar with it, what those rankings are and how they come about?
Well, thanks, Chad. The point of the nitty gritty rankings is to try to
there they are.
Guess where teams will come out. I might also add there is no preseason bias. So, like, you compare it to Ken Pomeroy or Sagarin, some really good ratings out there. They're going to have basically a look a lot like the AP vote, you know, right now. These do not. This is purely results based. So you're going to see, for instance, right now, two Colorado teams, one beating Northern in the top 11. But that's because they've actually gotten wins against teams that we might not think are strong, but have done very well to date. And so that is why, we all know Duke and Kansas had a great, wins over Kentucky and Michigan State. They're up there. This is purely statistical from this year on. And the ultimate goal is you can set these ratings, hopefully, at the end of the year and just have your seed list.
Right. So, and Joe, I know you kind of said this, but the variables you use are what we understand the points of emphasis that the selection committee uses.
Yeah, the components of the ratings, it's the quadrant system is the foundation of it. Thank you, Kyle Lamb. But the quadrant system, it's also home and away is on top of that extra bonuses. How you're doing, if you're a conference leader, that adds to a lot. Your overall rating in the net will have a factor. Your out-of-conference scheduling is a factor. All the things you hear the committee either complain or praise when March comes along.
Right, and you can just kind of see here, it's a little bit out of whack, but like you said, it's sort of like an April batting average. You don't take the – you start at zero. You don't presume anything. Right. And when you look at some of the teams that you have up here that may seem out of place, Murray State.
You can see, though, Florida State beat Florida. Duke, we know they have a big win already. Yeah. That's a big win. Tennessee's done very well. Gonzaga's done very well. So it's like North Carolina has those two road wins against Wofford and Elon. Yeah. I mean, you can see why. Where they are.
Yeah. All the way down. And the I like that you
Liberty is funny.
Yeah, for all like 100 – like all 300 teams. So, you know, if you're way down here somewhere, like, well, there's Syracuse. 2-2.
Villanova. In West Virginia back-to-back. I did not plan that. When I saw that they were 201, 202, 203, those were three teams ranked in the preseason top 25. I imagine that probably all three – will make their way up into the top 50 and have a good shot.
So. Right. And then, we have Indiana Lipscomb. man, look at who we've got at 111 right there. It's it's George Mason, strength and conditioning coach, Andy and Durahan coming in at 111.
Oh, well, he's up pretty good. And 111 is not bad. I mean, at this point of the season, you could definitely make a run at the tournament, can't he?
Right, yeah. Joe, how did that work out?
Notice the break in the on the list. That break symbolizes that he would be eligible for the CBI right now.
Right, yeah. Okay. Where did it go?
On that note, I don't know what to do from here, but I guess what we'll do is go ahead and I will pull up the the standings on the screen here, and we're going to start in the ACC. We're not going to start with Handy. We're going to start in the ACC, and there are the current ACC standings, and you can see on the screen here under the predicted. I'm sorry, under the resume-based metrics, the column K, I guess we call it, Joby. Those are the JNG ratings for each of the teams there. Everything is updated through today. In fact, through about a little after 9 p.m. as on Monday evening here. Let's take a look. But the big thing, I guess, that happened, and the reason why Syracuse is so low, Joby, that they had a very bad trip to Madison Square Garden.
Yes. And at first I go, oh, wait a minute, Connecticut's back. And then the next night Connecticut showed that they were not back. So that's a very unfortunate loss. And we'll see if it's a harbinger to things to come, because that was not a fluke result. If you saw the game, Connecticut was the better team, I thought. And was it just that they had the night off? They couldn't spell Boeheim's kid's name right, which is remarkable.
That was great. Don't son that his name is spelled on his jersey. That was.
But that was a really poor outing. And then to back it up, Oregon's a good team. Oregon's going to be in the tournament. They're going to be playing in March. But 15, that's not the way to close out what is essentially kind of a home game for Syracuse. I mean, Oregon's the one having to travel across the country there. So not a good week at all for this team.
And Stalika, if I scroll down a little bit here, I got the rest of this week's games. We are recording this Monday evening. We did see this afternoon or this early evening, Duke in this first game out in Maui thoroughly pasted San Diego State.
It started a little bit slower than we expected, at least by Duke standards. It was about an 11 or 12-point game as you go towards the end of the first half, right around the two-minute mark. They gradually extended it to a 17-point halftime lead and just completely blew the game open in the second half. And as we'll get to later, they will end up facing Auburn, who did have to go extra time to at least get to that point against Duke.
Yeah, we'll get to that Auburn game in a few minutes here. But, David, let's take a look at what we've got coming up in the ACC over the course of the next week as we talk about some of these other teams. You can see down there today, coming up tomorrow, actually. Let's talk about that, actually. Duke and Auburn. Is this like a Final Four caliber type of matchup that we have in this semifinals in Maui?
Potentially. We kind of alluded to it earlier. Auburn absolutely blasted what is, by all accounts, a pretty good Washington team, albeit it was at Auburn and after a long flight and all. I was a little surprised that they struggled against Xavier as much as they did, although I was more impressed with Xavier than I was disappointed in Auburn. But, yeah, I think it is. It's a top 10 matchup. Both teams, not only are they ranked there, they've done more than just win their bye games. They've won big games. So it is probably a Final Four caliber matchup.
And Joby, Clemson came off a win over Akron today. They get Georgia in their next game coming up tomorrow in their tournament. Not really that big of a test, though. We're not expecting much out of Georgia this season.
Who knows? I mean, Georgia's a major team just the same, but I would think Clemson is going to be able to handle them. They've started off the year very strong. You've got to appreciate everything that's being done there. Maybe they've turned things around on the unlucky streak, but Georgia's not a – yeah, we're not talking, Pittsburgh level or something. They will face easier games, much, much easier games in Georgia, but they should win.
Yeah, and a couple other games. David, we got to talk about it. It's still a week away, but next Monday night, and that's actually the start of the ACC Big Ten Challenge, I believe, next Monday night, but Clemson hosting Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska fell out of the rankings somehow, despite – not losing any games, but two really good teams. The first real test, especially for Nebraska, Clemson being tested a little bit down in their tournament, but probably not like they will be in that game. So that one should be fun. And again, Nebraska, I mean, they've looked good, but they've been playing at home. They actually won pretty big today against a so-so Missouri State team. We'll see what they do tomorrow against either USC or Texas Tech, but should be fun. These are two teams that I think we're both expecting to land in the top half of the bracket. So this is a pretty good out-of-conference matchup, I'd say.
Yeah. Another game that I'm kind of looking forward to hear, John, coming up Wednesday, Louisville and Tennessee. I believe that's a first-round game in their tournament. You know, I don't think we know what much about this Louisville team yet. I think we're definitely going to learn it against Tennessee.
Well, they did start off a little slow on Friday against Vermont, but the Cardinals did end up pulling out that game. This will be the first major test as far as Chris Mack's brief career in Louisville. But I'd also circled a couple home games for Notre Dame that they already lost previously to, I think it was Radford, and now Duquesne and DePaul. Those are very winnable games, but those are ones that the Irish can't take for granted if they're going to be looking to make a return to the tournament this year.
Right. And Joby, if we're talking about this upcoming week in the ACC, as we record this, North Carolina is a big on SFPA, but a huge event out in Vegas where they get Texas and then the winner of a winner or loser of a Michigan State UCLA game.
Yeah, it's what a great little tournament they have out there. North Carolina and Texas, they've played a lot over the last few years.
They have, haven't they?
They're very familiar. They've had the home and home, and Texas is either come within inches of winning on several occasions or, has flat out won a few years back. They can, do I expect North Carolina to win on a neutral site? Yes, because I think this North Carolina team has played very strong so far, as I mentioned this year. But I like this Texas team. We'll see, it's kind of like the loss of Mo Bamba, what we talked about in the preseason podcast, that the loss of Mo Bamba might have added more flow to their game, and I like what Texas can do, so watch out, North Carolina.
I would say with the star power in that field, could we possibly call a PK-81?
Yeah. David, I may need to be fired from my hosting jobs here. I missed probably the most important note when we're going over the scores of the ACC, just what brought it back up here. Virginia Tech winning their event, including the huge win over Purdue last night.
Yeah, and it was a really fun game to watch. Both teams played really well. It's November, but those teams, I mean, that was a January, February type of game. Not a lot of mistakes, not very sloppy, just really good basketball. Virginia Tech falling behind and not getting rattled, fighting their way back against a really good Purdue team. So I was really impressed with what they did. Nice win for Uncle Buzz.
Yeah, huge win for Uncle Buzz and Virginia Tech. Joby, you believe in Virginia Tech now?
I believe in them. You know, they've been my fourth place team the whole time. I still think they're fourth. I mean, I do, until further notice, Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia are still, I think, the guys fighting for a protected seat. But watch out, because Virginia Tech, I've been saying all year, they're definitely a top half of the bracket. Maybe they can become a fourth ACC team to challenge for a protected seat. I mean, after all, this is a very quality win they got that they're going to be able to talk about in March. That is something that you didn't see in the past from Virginia Tech, who typically had really poor out-of-conference scheduling. Well, now they have a scalp that is very unusual for them. Usually their scalps are like Duke, in Castle. They don't have to do that this year.
But well, not only that, but you also got to talk about Florida State, I think, in that conversation also. I think there is – it could be not four teams, but there could be five teams contending for that.
They're number one in the JNG right now, and that's primarily due to the fact that the people they've beaten, like Florida, have gone undefeated beyond them. But that's a great win. The win over Florida is a great win. I mean, they're going to be, second or third in the SEC, I think, behind – or fourth. Yeah, I mean, the SEC is pretty loaded. But – that is a great win. We're going to see Florida State, Florida State, I think they always do this though. They kind of always start really strong, and we're going to see if they can keep it up through the meat of the ACC schedule. But as Leonard Hamilton showed last year, maybe they don't need to do everything in the middle of the ACC. They just need to make it and then make a run in the tournament. Who knows?
Let's take a look over at the Big East, and Stalika, let me bring you in here. Let's start with, before we get to what happened last week, let's start with what happened today with Auburn and Xavier in the quarterfinals of the Maui. Xavier with a nice comeback late. They were down, I think, 5 or 6 late in that game, forced the overtime, not so good in overtime, including completely getting hammered by a slap by Auburn. But what about what Xavier did today and what Xavier's shown you so far this season?
Well, from the Xavier perspective, they were down as many as 12 points in the first half. But unlike their game against Wisconsin, they never got rattled in the second half. They just kept chipping away. They actually hit 19 out of 20 free throws, so at least gave them a bit of a fighting chance to extend the game against Auburn, but they just didn't appear to have anything in the tank remaining in overtime.
And David, the other huge story in the Big East, again, before you even get to the Gavitt games, the Furman Paladins have done something that I don't remember any team ever having done before so far this season.
No, yeah, they went into Villanova and won, and that followed a win at Loyola Chicago. So they won back-to-back true road games, and this was at the Pavilion. It wasn't at the NBA Arena. The Pavilion where Villanova just basically never loses, ever. Went in there and beat them. That was remarkable, but it also great job with Furman. We're going to talk about them and many other teams on Wednesday night. It's been very eventful under the radar, but for the sake of this conversation, it does beg the question, not to take anything away from Furman, but what about this Villanova team? It followed a win where they didn't just – it followed a game where they didn't just lose, but got absolutely boat raced by Michigan.
Yeah, Joby, that this Villanova team – to say they've looked bad is an understatement so far.
Yeah, I mean, I was commenting before the show. If you want to go to Massey's page – and see which computer programs have preseason bias. Anyone who still has Nova in the top 20 has a preseason bias. More, if you're a true computer model that's going off a results-based, as you can see, you know, you got the RPI at 245, strength of record 225, I'm at 201, and then you got Pomeroy, and nothing wrong with BPI and Pomeroy, they're going to be great, but I think the preseason bias is still there. What do you think?
I think another telling sign as far as Villanova, not much production from their new guys like Cole Swider and Javon Quinterly. I think one of them didn't even get into the Furman game on Saturday.
And what's also interesting about the Big East, and Villanova is probably the biggest reason for this, is look over at that very far column, AP and coaches poll. Not a one in the top 25. I am shocked. When was the last time? I bet there has not been in the last 10 years a week where a Big East team was not ranked at least 25th or above.
There was the first week under this format, I don't think they had anybody in the top 25. Nova that first year was actually unranked, and then they won. Was it the Old Spice or the Advocare, whatever they were calling it at the time?
And it was the Atlantis tournament where they beat Kansas, but I think
was that it? Yeah, I know they went from unranked to ninth, and
but
I don't think
Creighton,
they've been out
I think
the
was also a top 25 team at that time.
Oh, who was
Creighton?
Oh, okay, they may have been. Yeah,
yeah, but
are always there, and I mean, just the whole conference is so strong. Butler, you would think Seton Hall is in the rankings from time to time. It's just it really is shocking to see such a strong conference without a single team in the top 25.
Well, and Joby, I think one of those telling things about the Big East was what happened in the Gavitt games where they lost at 5-3. The three Big East wins were by Georgetown, DePaul, and St. John's. I mean, seriously, the three of the, you know, in the last few years, some of the worst teams in the Big East were the only three wins they even got against the Big Ten.
And remember, they're beating Rutgers. They're beating Illinois. I mean it's not like that. It's not like, oh, those really bad teams, they took advantage. They're beating Penn State, Illinois, and Rutgers, who stink. So all it showed is Penn State's overrated. You know what that shows?
Maybe it
that's
did.
What showed
but I guess my point more
showed me Penn State's overrated.
Yeah, but Joe, I think my point more was if you look at some of these scores, those Wisconsin really big at Xavier, Nebraska pounded Seton Hall, even have Ohio State at Creighton. I mean, some of the score margins were just not even close. Indiana, what they did to Marquette by 23 points. It was this Big East has looked lousy so far, quite honestly. Just lousy.
I think the major surprise here is that of the four games the Big East hosted, DePaul was the only one that won at home. It was somewhat surprising that Wisconsin won as comfortably as they did. Ohio State, Creighton a toss-up, but the real shock was just how badly Villanova lost at home to Michigan.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, I was just going to say one more score. It's not even on here. We just saw it before we started the show tonight. St. John's has one more win. They're actually now 4-0, but it was a win at Madison Square Garden against
Barclays
Cal.
The
Barclays Center. They barely pulled out against a lousy Cal team. It's when you see you see things like that. I see nothing out of the Big East so far that makes me think there's any hope for this conference this season.
It's been pretty pitiful. And what is their best moment? It might be that DePaul went over Penn State. That might be the highlight of the league.
There's some of the games that are upcoming this week, including Marquette, Kansas, tomorrow we've got Xavier, San Diego State, and St. John's will take on either Temple or VCU among the other games. But I don't know. Should we just move on to another conference, David?
Yeah, maybe so. Real disappointing. This is a basketball-centric league, a really fun league. It'll still be fun, but it just won't be very good.
I guess they've still won two out of the last three national championships, so we can't complain too much. Right. Let's go to the Big Ten, though. Here's the scores coming up again. They were on the positive side of that Gavitt challenge. We already mentioned a lot of those great games, though.
Wow.
Guys, scroll down a little bit. And I guess let's start with what happened tonight, though, in the Big Ten, because I got to start there.
Yes. Normally,
Rutgers,
normal, but something redonkulous happened tonight, and we have to begin.
If you missed it, the halftime score of that Rutgers-Eastern Michigan game was Rutgers 31, Eastern Michigan 4. Yes, 4. That was an NCAA record for fewest points in the first half by any team and tied the NCAA record for fewest points in any half in the shot clock era. So, I mean, unbelievable. You know, Steve Paikel wanted some better defense. I think he got it in that first half, Joby. Just a little bit.
Yeah,
Tony Bennett hasn't done that, has he?
I mean, well, that's the thing is, I've seen Wisconsin and Virginia hold. I remember Virginia held Harvard under 10 a few years ago. A very good Harvard team, you know, under 10. I saw Wisconsin do it to somebody who was decent. You know, it's like, but they're talking to hold them in 8 and 9. 4? That's remarkable. Like, you know, I will say, I think Virginia in that Harvard game had Harvard at the 4-minute mark at 2, and Harvard went on a run.
A run.
What was the old line? Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together.
I mean, that's remarkable. And that's a good – I still am not a believer in Rutgers. Show me more. Show me more.
Thad Matta, his 1 year as the head coach at Butler, their round of 64 game, weren't they up 43-10 at the half? I remember thinking it was just a ridiculous score.
That was Butler against Wake Forest in the first round that year.
Yeah. This was even more absurd than that.
David, we already discussed Purdue and the Virginia Tech game, but so let me talk about another team that we didn't really discuss much. Indiana, after that nice win at Marquette, goes and loses the game to Arkansas. Kind of surprising there.
It is, but is it in what way? Like, I mean, they looked really good against Marquette. Indiana's clearly improved. Arkansas went out to wherever it was. Where did they play Texas? Was that
Texas military? Or was it a neutral site court game? I thought it was in Texas somewhere.
It was. Well, I think it was in Dallas. I'm not 100%.
Well, it was at an Army base, and
Fort Bragg.
Okay, where was it?
I thought it was Fort Bragg. No.
Fort Bragg.
Fort Bliss.
Okay. Okay.
Fort Bliss. Bragg's in North Carolina.
Yeah. God, just turn this. If you're watching, just watch something else. It's not worth it. Anyway, they went there, lost that game in overtime, and played really well. And we remember thinking maybe Arkansas is better than we think. Was it a disappointment for Indiana, or was it more or less maybe Arkansas is just better than we think? Because that's twice now that they've kind of surprised us.
Yeah, I kind of like this Arkansas team heading into the season. I think I was the only one that did.
You did,
But John, I guess another team we should discuss is Iowa winning that event with wins of Oregon and UConn.
I wish our colleague John Titel were here because he's the one that's been really high on the Hawkeyes here. They got the first win against Oregon, which was a bit of a surprise, and then the game against UConn, which would have been – the third place game is what many people have thought, but a win nonetheless where Dan Hurley didn't even finish the game on the bench. But great effort for the Hawkeyes.
And Joby, how about Minnesota off to 3-0 start with a nice win last night over Texas A&M up in Vancouver last night?
Yeah, that A&M win's a very good one. I'm a little higher on the A&M team than I think anybody else on Hoops HD, which maybe I need to backtrack on that. But you know, hey, good for Minnesota. I still think they're going to be in the bottom half of this conference at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
But I think that overall the conference has shown itself extremely well so far. Yeah, the ACC has been the gym, but the Big Ten has been right there with them.
Yeah. Well, it's like the gym of all gyms. We've got Tim Miles on the job. He's doing number one in the
– Hey, the coaches kept him in the top 25, David. Yeah. So, yeah. But the key also is – and we'll see in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, which is coming up. But we're going to see if the Big Ten, they've gotten through the Gavitt games 5-3. Last year, these were their problems, were these cross-conference showdowns where they went, I think they were 4-8 or some ridiculous 4-10 in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. That killed them. That is why Nebraska and Penn State, despite 13-5, 12-6 records in conference, didn't matter. Because there was nothing out of conference, only the top four were really realistic. That might change this year. That probably will change, and we'll see it. They did the first step. They've gotten past it. We'll see if in the ACC Challenge, if they can at least get to 500, that's a great accomplishment. If they have a winning record, wow, they're probably number one.
And John, here's the upcoming schedule for the Big Ten on the screen. Wisconsin starting their event on Wednesday with Stanford in their first game, but you know they might get Virginia in the finals of that event. The other, obviously, we already discussed Michigan State in that four-team event with UCLA, Texas, and North Carolina. I guess the best game might be tomorrow night's potential Nebraska USC game or Texas Tech.
That's one of them, but I'm also keeping an eye on Penn State versus Wright State because that does have some under the radar implications as far as the Raiders go. And then we look at Michigan, who's now back in the top 10 with a vengeance. They get a fairly easy game at home against Chattanooga.
Right. Yeah. And I guess we should mention Ohio State also. They get a home game against Samford. They're out to a 4-0 start as well. And then they get Cleveland State. So they should be up to 6-0 next week. And they are in the top 25 also at 23.
Right. Samford coming in unbeaten. We thought they would be at the bottom of the SoCon. They still may end up there, but not a bad start for just, anyway, this isn't under the radar.
This is not under the radar, David. So David, how about we talk a little bit about the Big 12? And I guess what game do we want to circle here as to what happened this past week?
Well, there was just a flurry of pastry cart. It was.
I guess we should talk about West Virginia in the game against Western Kentucky that they did lose.
Yeah, real nice win for Western Kentucky. But again, West Virginia now, I know it was an exhibition game, losing at home to Penn State in a charity game. It was a charity game. But also losing to Buffalo at home and losing to Western Kentucky on a neutral court. How about West Virginia? I mean, I think it's early. I think they're going to come out of it, but wow.
But that's the question. Very disappointing start for West Virginia so far, and that's probably the only team in this conference that's really disappointed. Everyone else other than Baylor and Oklahoma State with one loss each is undefeated, Joby. Look at it.
Yeah, Kansas is so good. I mean, we said how much the poll was, all right, how much is Kansas going to win this conference by? You know, most of us say, three games, four games. It might be more. The only reason it might not be is because a team like Kansas State might be able to get wins over everybody else as well. It's not been a great start for the Mountaineers to try to compete. With the rest of this league.
Right. A couple scores that are not on that screen just didn't make it. Kansas State did win that game against Missouri tonight. Iowa State is up at the half as we record this.
Real quick, why was it Kansas State versus Missouri? And why did it have to be down in the Paradise Jam? Like, why can't we have Kansas and Missouri playing?
Salika, anything else you're looking forward to this week in the Big 12? I know a lot of these games are first games of events, including games like the Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Kansas, and the like.
I'll be looking to see how Iowa State does in the rest of the Maui Invitational, because if they are able to hold on against Arizona, obviously they would be looking at possibly either Gonzaga and then a matchup against Auburn or Duke, which could make their schedule even more insane.
Let's take a look over to the Pac-12, which we have to do because we like to cover.
I thought you said this wasn't under the radar.
What happened good in the Pac-12 this week? Well, I guess UCLA is 3-0. Nobody believed in them except for me this year.
Well, Colorado's in the JMP top 10.
Oregon State totally pounded Penn tonight and today, this afternoon, and that kind of surprised me. I thought it was a decent Penn team.
Yeah, pretty good showing by Oregon State. They lost, was it yesterday or the day before, in a game that I thought was a little bit pivotal because I think Oregon State is a candidate for a dark horse in this league, especially when you consider that it's a little bit down. But, yeah, if you're focusing on some of the good things, maybe it's that Oregon State is better than expected and that Washington State and Cal aren't any worse than expected.
Well, Cal getting a game effort against St. John's in New York, in Brooklyn, at least tonight. They'll get the loser of that Temple VCU game tomorrow, Tuesday night. But there's a few of the other games that are coming up this week. Joby, anything else you're looking forward to here as we go through the rest of this week, this feast week here in the Pac-12?
Well, I think what we point out to is that UCLA-Michigan State game in the tournament we referenced earlier. That's going to be a fun one to come out tonight. Turn on your TVs if you're getting this immediately. Arizona-Iowa State, good game.
That game will be final by the time anybody watches this, unfortunately.
And we're going to find out, Stanford, Wisconsin on a neutral court, and that's obviously Atlantis. That's going to be we'll see if Stanford can plow through the consolation bracket effectively after that game.
We're going to get Tuesday night and Wednesday night up in Vancouver, Washington against A&M and Washington against Minnesota. They can get a couple of major conference scalps there as well.
Yeah.
All right. Stalika, how about the SEC?
There is a clear chasm between four different conferences and just about everyone else right now, that being the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and yes, a conference where everything just does mean more.
Some huge wins, David. We already mentioned the Auburn win, the Arkansas win, Missouri, who had beaten Oregon State. That was the Oregon State loss that we didn't remember from earlier.
Right, thanks. Also, Alabama with a nice win.
Yeah.
Vandy took care of Liberty. I don't know if that qualifies as good, but
they actually struggled most of that game. They did win it tonight, though.
But, yeah, I mean, a really, really strong league. And, some quality wins already, even though we're just about a week and a half in. And you get the feeling that there's more on the way. If Auburn can pick up one more, certainly if it's against Duke. If they beat Duke, does Auburn go to number one in the nation if they're able to win out in Maui? If they beat Duke and Gonzaga, you pretty much have.
If they beat Duke and Gonzaga, I think they've got to be the number one team in the nation. How can you vote for anybody else, can you?
Right, yeah.
Well, you know that the slot – this is why the beauty of the polls are slotting system. Kansas will be number one. Just get over that. It's so silly, but yes, they should be number one. I would be shocked if the J&G doesn't propel them to number one. Hell, they're already seven.
Right. But we got a chance to get three teams in the top eight into the semifinals of that event and whoever wins the Iowa State-Arizona game.
But I think another team that's going to have a major opportunity to make a move this week is going to be LSU, who has a somewhat soft opener in the field against College of Charleston. But what's going to be waiting for them afterward is a possible path through Florida State and Villanova or either Memphis if the Wildcats somehow stumble again.
Yeah, let me educate those that don't really follow under the radar. LSU, was it yesterday or the day before, 2 days ago, at home against La Tech, won the game. That is not a regular bye game. That is a really good La Tech team. So I think you got to give them credit for winning that game. Would you all agree?
Absolutely. I give them a lot of credit for winning that game, and I am very high on this LSU team. Also high on what I've seen out of Mississippi State so far. I think this is a very dangerous team for the rest of the season, although they were they playing Arizona State? Is that game's later on this evening? And then they will get in the winner of that event. I think it looks like it's going to be Utah State. Not a great event for Mississippi State.
Right, yeah.
Let's take a look at some of the other conferences that are a step below all of this. Well, let's start with some of the good teams. Let me go out west first, David. And let's talk a little bit about Gonzaga. We're going to see them later tonight after we record this against Illinois, which they should win. But how about the Zags, what you've seen out of them so far?
Well, I mean, we've seen them win three bye games. Well, okay, A&M. Two bye games in Texas A&M. Okay. And they blasted Texas A&M. So we're going to learn a little more about them tomorrow, not tonight, unless they happen to lose to Illinois. But I think that they're really good. They're ranked third. I think that they're the kind of team that could really give Duke trouble if they end up facing them in either on the third day of this event, either in the third place game or the first place. If they played them, it would probably be the first place game. But it's a really, really good Gonzaga team. There's another team in here that I'm dying to discuss, but I'll let you call them out first.
I wasn't really going to discuss anyone else in this conference here. I mean, St. Mary's is getting blasted tonight by Utah State.
LMU.
LMU, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, nice neutral. I mean, 5-0 start, nice neutral floor win against Georgetown. I mean, they won pretty convincingly. So I think that we might need to – I mean, I know it's early and you see teams get out early and then fall back, but I've really liked what I've seen from them so far.
Well, Joby, they should be off to a 7-0 start as they host Central Connecticut and Florida A&M this week.
Yeah, and you keep climbing up Loyola Marymount because that is how you you establish yourself a strong record, and they will have opportunities against Gonzaga. Will they need to put up a ridiculously gaudy record now, you know, because they have their quasi-big scalp against Georgetown. I know that's maybe against the bottom of the Big East. But you put up a ridiculous 29-3 record with a win over Gonzaga. You're getting at large. What the hell?
Do they play
7-0? You know,
Stalika, do they play anybody out of conference of note or schedule? I haven't really looked at it.
I can about to bring them up here. Let's go. Let's pull over to the team sheet page that we don't use that often this early in the season. Let's pull up a little LMU and take a look at it, David.
Yeah,
should be coming up on the left hand side of the screen there.
Yeah, nice win at UNLV, a sort of nice win. Too.
And they got, after Florida A&M, they got Bethesda. Then they do have the road trip to UCLA. That's really it in terms of the schedule other than the Gonzaga.
And Ohio's not a bad team, actually. That's good. That's actually a good one, too.
Do me a favor and also pull up Santa Clara, because I want to see if this team has the material to possibly be a centenary and a Stallings Award winner this year.
Awful. Oh, they're awful.
There's Santa Clara with the losses to Irvine and Prairie View. Although Prairie View has shown some life this season. I mean, we're going under the radar again here, but it'll be a while till they get a winnable game. I guess Jackson State on November 29th, Sonoma State on December 9th. But we've gone way off board here, I think. I think we should go back here. Sleek, let me talk to you about a real conference. How about the Mountain West and what you've seen on Nevada so far?
Well, Nevada, as expected, they are going to be 3-0. They had a decent win against Iona as well as Little Rock. But I think we're going to be looking forward to their matchup in about a week or two when they go to Loyola Chicago.
Well, David, I just mentioned it. Utah State completely annihilating St. Mary's as we record this. Well, it's not over yet, but they're up pretty big in the second half.
Yeah, I've been watching that as we've been recording this. It's kind of surprising. I'm really impressed with Utah State. I got to be honest, this is the first time I've watched them play this year. I mean, I know that they've had three or four other games. I don't think I saw any of them. St. Mary's, I thought, looked pretty good down at New Mexico State. Not that New Mexico State is world beaters, but it's typically tough to win in there, and they went in there and won handily. So I thought St. Mary's really had something this year, and Utah State is waxing them. They're good. At least they're – if not, then they're having a really good night tonight. And I don't think they're going to challenge Nevada or anything like that. But, I mean, 5-0, win over St. Mary's on a neutral floor, don't you kind of have to start to think that they're putting something together?
Oh, yeah, and you can see the game, I guess we'll learn a lot about them. It's actually going to be not Tuesday night, but Wednesday night, the championship game of the MGM main event. Assuming they hold on to this game, they would get either Mississippi State or Arizona State. We'll learn a lot about Utah State in that game.
Yeah.
There's the rest of the upcoming schedule, though, in the Mountain West. And Let's turn back because we've got a little, let's turn take a look at the American Conference. That has been, I don't know.
I guess if you're a Central Florida fan, you probably would want to have at least one moment in the sun here.
Well, Salika, you want to talk a little about Central Florida? They did bounce back from that Florida Atlantic loss to win their event, including the win over Western Kentucky yesterday.
Yeah, that would be the Myrtle Beach Invitational, where they picked up wins against Fullerton, a nice one against St. Joe's on Friday, and then the aforementioned game against Western Kentucky, where they did pull away in the second half. But still, it's going to be a little tough to get that Scarlet L off their books against Florida Atlantic from last week.
Yeah, well, and David, I guess at Temple, Fran Dunphy's final season has the win over Georgia already, 4-0. They are playing, as we record this, though, and down by double digits to VCU. But
Yeah, it was 19-2 at one point. It's now 21-8. Their game has started, but they are not there.
Okay. Joby Houston, anything, or is it just that they haven't played enough games yet?
Well, let's put it this way. When you've played so few games, the J&G gives you a little bit of advantage depending on who you play. Like, we saw Colorado at 4, Northern Colorado at 11. That's a lot of that's because they've only played two games. Houston's still at 55, so they've really played crap. You really have to have played crap. You're 2-0 and not in the top 50.
Upcoming schedule here, Cincinnati is on Friday. They play George Mason. And David, a little bit of life out of Tulane so far. They play Irvine coming up on tomorrow night in the next game of their event. After they picked up the big win today, they beat somebody, didn't they?
Yeah, Lee Delvecchio calling it today, a dark horse. Who did they beat today?
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State team, yes.
Yeah, South Dakota State, as an aside, not having a nice time down in Florida. Mm-hmm. Their whole season's becoming derailed. But a real nice win for Tulane against a team that, when not in Florida, plays pretty well, the South Dakota State team.
I'm kind of excited about this Tulane-Irvine game. I really like this Irvine team out of the Big West this year, so I think it's going to be a fun little game coming up on Tuesday here.
I was way more excited about South Dakota State-Irvine.
Well, David, just for saying that, I'm going to punish you by talking a little A-10 hoops.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, this conference has played lots of how to attack it. They lead the nation in losses, in home bye game losses, I think. if they don't, then I have no idea who it is.
Howard at UMass.
Yes.
Come on.
George Washington 0-5, LaSalle 0-4, the Bonnies. Anyway, well, let's look at some of the things. St. Louis going out to Seton Hall and getting a nice road win. That's kind of a high mark. VCU unbeaten, basically trashing, at least early on, a pretty good Temple team right now. There might be some signs of life. Davidson, although they struggled to get by Dartmouth, got a couple of decent wins in their event. How the hell is Fordham 4-1? Who have they played?
I would say the moment of the week for the A-10, as odd as it sounds, might be the Fordham Rams, because yes, they were actually down 4 points in the final 10 seconds, but actually managed to get a three-point shot to cut it to one. Then they get a steal against Columbia and then hit the game winner. And I think it was the Bach Classic at home.
Yeah, that was. If you missed the end of that game, you should look it up. Look it up on the internet. There, incredible finish. Where just as Salika described it, I was watching that game. Huge win by Fordham. But I guess Joby, let's take a.
How about Duquesne? Let's focus on them real quick. This is a team that is. It's a program that has sucked for, what year is it now? Probably about 70 years, maybe longer. Off to a 3-0 start, got a decent win against Radford, I think it was, the same team that beat Notre Dame. And I realize that isn't much to be excited about, but we're talking about a program that there were years where they only won 3 games total.
They have not gone to the NCAA tournament since Norm Nixon was their point guard. This was 1977 when they won the initial Eastern 8 championship, and now is the Atlantic 10.
Yeah, Keith Danbrot liked their coach, and with the league being weaker than what it usually is, maybe they can make some noise in it this year.
Well, kind of an interesting game coming up here Tuesday night, Joby. Duquesne's at Notre Dame.
Yeah, and Duquesne, as pointed out earlier, has had a nice start to the season. The Radford win is a pretty good win, you know, that people don't pay attention to. You've got to think that, you know, Notre Dame's, hey, they lost Farrell. They were without Bonzi Colson from last year. Still, I'm going to go with the ACC team, you know, even if it is a mid-tier ACC team over a Duquesne program that, you know, like I said, their best win is over Radford, which is nice, but it's not, you know, it's not Kansas and Duke beating Michigan State and Kentucky.
Hardly. Yeah.
David, I've got to call a few upset alerts here. I picked North Carolina Central preseason to win the MEAC. Look for them. Upset alert at George Mason Tuesday night. Also,
upset anymore?
Upset alert Saturday, Northeastern at Davidson. Keep an eye out for that one. Maybe Manhattan at George Washington. There's a lot of upset alerts. Hampton at Richmond on Sunday.
Upset. I mean, George Washington and George Mason have been very upsetting all year.
One more conference I want to take a quick look at here because they are not under. They have a team that's not under the radar. The second straight week in the top 25. Buffalo Bulls, an exciting week where Stalika, they played absolutely nobody in the last 7 days.
Absolutely no one, but this would be the place where we would mention them as they moved up to number 22 in the polls. But another team we also
have in the coaches poll. Yep.
Yeah.
But also keep an eye on Furman, who's actually number 30. They're not eligible for the podcast this week, but they may be getting mentioned in the next couple weeks along with the Bulls.
And Dave,
both teams continue to win.
Yeah. And Joby, absent a big upset, Buffalo should still be in the polls next week. Dartmouth and Marist at home this week.
Yeah, I mean, not only are you playing an Ivy League team, you're playing a really bad Ivy League team. and Marist is nothing special. So, yeah. But you know what? Buffalo's proven their effectiveness already this year. Yeah. You're not going to have a team from the MAC schedule every game against, you know, the Big Ten and ACC if you can help.
I guess on that note, let me go ahead and pull this down here and let me run through each of you for any other final thoughts on what we've seen this week and what we've got coming up during our feast week here. And Joby, let me start with you.
I'll reiterate what I said kind of in a podcast ago because it's coming upon us and what I said earlier today. The Gavitt Classic, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, these are, and then later the Big 12 SEC Challenge, these are huge. Especially as we move to 20-game conference schedules, because this will indicate for your entire conference and your opponent's opponents, which every buddy looks at, you know, to determine relative strength. If you get blown out in a one-sided affair in these things, it hurts your conference. You will lose bids. Conversely, if you do well in these, you will gain bids. You think that November/December doesn't matter? You're wrong.
It matters a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about that Florida State game earlier again. I guarantee you that when we get to March and we're talking selections, every time we mention Florida State, we're going to be mentioning, oh, yeah, that went over Florida.
Exactly right. And that, yeah, we'll see if those, you know, that West Virginia, you know, the J&G 3, the J&G 3-203, that West Virginia, Syracuse, Nova, people who got those wins like a Michigan, et cetera. You know, if Villanova does what I truly believe is going to happen, Villanova is going to wind up, you know, 26-6, you know, and solid at the top of the Big East. I still have a belief in them despite the start. We're going to be saying, hey, Michigan, whoa, you know, that was a nice win, 30 points there.
Stalika, your thoughts?
We'll add a little bit to Joby's point where we actually look ahead to next year. The Big East and Big 12 have pretty much all but confirmed that they're going to be entering a challenge next year where all 10 teams are going to be going up against each other. And the Atlantic 10 and Mountain West are also going to have a challenge series going up against one another.
It's actually becoming more and more of a thing. We see a lot more of them. The Sun Belt is looking for a conference foe, for example, that's under the radar. But they've actually told all the teams to reserve 1 to 2 games of their regular season for a conference foe, for example. So there's
going under the radar, you have the Summit and the WAC that have also agreed to a series starting next year as well.
Yeah.
I think that's going on this year, actually. There's a Summit WAC, there's a Summit Big Sky series, there's all kinds of stuff. But David, your final thoughts.
A couple of things, just to kind of build on what Joby said, is how important this next week is. You know, doing what we do with the mock selections and the updates, it's amazing. More happens in this week and a half during these exempt tournaments that affect affect the NCAA tournament than any other singular week of the season. Now, don't misunderstand what I mean by that. The rest of the season all put together, yes, is far more important. But as a singular week, this is one of the most important weeks, if not the most important week, simply because of the exempt tournaments, the matchups that you normally don't see under normal circumstances, the win-in-advance formats of the ones that are bracketed, and the way teams like Iowa – that we weren't even really talking about. I don't think we barely even mentioned them other than Titel has exploded onto the national scene. Not in a tournament, but to see what Furman did. So it's just a really fun week to see high caliber basketball in some of these really unique settings, these smaller gymnasiums and places without air conditioning and all that. So it's just a fun week. The second thing, more of a serious note, and that's what's going on out in California. A lot of the schools have been affected. Rocco's out there. We all know some people out there. And you just really hope they get back to normal soon. The NCAA this year did not approve the third exhibition charity games the way that they did the year before. And I realize that happened before the wildfires. But just as a thought, wishful thinking it is, I don't think it'll happen. How about now? Would you – like, I would support strongly, like, over $100 to any two schools that decided to play an exhibition charity game to raise money for fire relief if the NCAA were to approve it. I really just hope that those people get back together soon. It's just devastating out there.
I would love to see something like that. I mean, obviously, putting together a charity game in the middle of – an exhibition game in the middle of the season can be tough because of all the scheduling and everything like that. But heck, why can't we just designate some of these regular season games and start?
Right, yeah. Or any regular season game where they said, you know what, the proceeds are going to fire relief.
But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. I'm Chad Sherwood. We got David Griggs, John Stalica over there, Joby Fortson.
Over there, I don't know.
Over somewhere. But I do want to thank everyone for joining us. I do want to wish everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving holiday as well. And we'll be back, I guess, one more time before Thanksgiving with our Under the Radar show and back again with more Hoops HD Report next week. Take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you again real soon.